very, very unique for me to be standing up here and looking back and seeing Pastor. And when we, a lot of you, maybe you don't realize this, but a lot of times I lose my place in the songs, you know, especially when there's five verses. And I'll be honest with you, I lost my place on that song. And I wanted to ask you where I always lean over to Pastor and say, where are we at? And he'll say, verse 4. And then we're good. I couldn't do that tonight, but I got lucky and I had the right verse when I started. Brother Robert, come on down here. Share what the Lord's laid on your heart. We appreciate you coming down.
All right. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Can you hear me all right? I think I'm on.
I don't know.
Brother Jay said it was unique to be up here looking out at the pastor, but he didn't say whether it was good or bad to be looking. Yeah, okay. To be looking at the pastor. Job chapter 2 in your Bibles, the Old Testament book of Job, right before the major book of Psalms. In chapter 2, Job chapter 2. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I was planning on being here with Sarah, but she has a funeral. It's her mother's sister passed away. And so they have some people traveling from out of town and things like that. So she said she hopes I do well. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. Maybe short. Maybe that's what she meant. I don't know. It is good to be here. It is good to be here tonight. I always appreciate being here, and I know in the back of my mind, no matter where I'm at or no matter what I'm doing, I know for a fact that there is a good church in Cambridge, Ohio. I don't know, you hear a lot of people say, well, I was over in this town or in that town, and you know what? There is no good fundamental churches in that area. Nobody can say that about Cambridge, Ohio, and I got to be honest, look in the mirror. That's the only reason that nobody can say that about Cambridge, Ohio, is because of this body, made up of individual members. It's because of you that they can't say that. And you know that the government's out to do the government's thing, and the personal families are out to do their thing, the media's out to do their thing, and everybody's out to do their own thing. But you know what God's out to do, and the people of Cambridge, Ohio have one and only one hope, and that's Jesus Christ through you. That's His only hope. And so if that encourages you at all, but I will say tonight, there is one more thing I do know, is that you guys, as a body and as a church, you can take one more step closer. You can take, as a body, individually, together, combined, you can take one more step closer to God. And so that's our prayer to God tonight, is that He will do that. Job chapter 2, and we're going to start our reading. I'm sure some of you are familiar with Job chapter 1 and the beginning of Job chapter 2. For those of you that aren't, we will do somewhat of a summary leading into it. But I trust that most of you are familiar. But if you're not, just follow along and we'll get there in just a moment. Job chapter 2, start a reading in verse 3. And God's Word says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and issueth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without a cause." Satan's always got an answer. And Satan answered to the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot under his crown of his foot, under the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Verse 9 says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest." What? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" But I have these next three words in my Bible underlined. I want to draw your attention to them tonight. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Draw your attention again. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. God, we know that this house was built by you. God, it is protected by you. We ask, God, that you would continue to do so. Lord, we know that you have a heart for your people, God, and that you love your people and your children. God, we need you tonight. And God, we thank you for what you've done for us in the past and what you will do for us in the future. Lord, as we have this opportunity, we lift up again those that are hurting, those that have fears in their life, God, those that are unstable. God, we pray for the physical health of our pastor as he recovers from surgery. God, we pray for those that are going in to have tests done on their bodies and to have surgeries done in the next few months and things like that. God, those names that were lifted up for salvation and our missionaries, God, we lift them up to you. Lord, we do thank you for the preaching of your word and the power of it, the instruction that it brings to us, God, and the edification. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' precious and instructing name, I pray. Amen. As we look in that final verse, even though leading up to those verses, we know that Satan took the opportunity to attack God's servant. And tonight, as you read this chapter, you don't just read it as somebody reading a book, that someone wrote a fiction story, and you read it as a complete outsider. But as Christians, we read the Bible, placing ourselves in it because God wrote it to us. And so as we look at Job chapter 2, we consider that Satan attacks God's servants, and as God's servants, we know that Satan attacks us. And the Lord said to Satan in verse 3 and in verse 4, Satan responds, and he says, All that a man hath will he give for his life. So in that context, you say, you know what? If Satan will say that about Job, Satan will probably say that about you or I. Hey, you know what about Brother Bob? He's up there preaching right now, and you know what? But you know what? One thing I know about him, he's got a limit. Hey, you know what? You know what I know about that Christian? They look good right now, and they look good on the outside, or they're following God now, but you know what? All will a man give. For what? What is it, I ask you tonight, as Job, in all this, Job said not, in all this, can I tell you what? Tonight, there is a limit to where God can point and say, you know what? He'll keep serving God, but right here, this is where she'll break down. You know, God says that He'll not try above that you are able. But would God be more pleased if maybe you were able to handle a little bit more because your faith were a little more stable? Satan says to God, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand, touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. What would it take for you to curse God to His face? We just passed Easter week and the Passover for the Jews. And your mind and your heart was, of course, drawn to that day, maybe the week before, when those people were standing out there and Jesus was being brought forth on that colt, and they said, Hosanna! This is the Son of David. This is our King. And not even but a week later, those same people were saying, crucify him. He's not our king. Caesar is. Those same people. You say, why? Because their limit was reached. Their faith was tested and they were found wanting. If there's anything that you could do tonight that would encourage you, it would be to take another step toward the Lord. If there would be anything that could give you peace in your heart or give you stability in your life, in your mind, with your emotions, anything that, of course, you believe that it helps your body to be closer to the Lord. And all the things that God allowed to happen to Job, can I tell you that his close ones were taken from him? His children were taken from him. The ones that he cared about, for a time being, his wife there was not supporting him. Would you be able to last as long as Job did? But even after his entire body and his flesh was touched by Satan and the devil, in all this, the Bible says, Job chapter 2 and verse 10, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Can I tell you something about Job? He was committed to not sinning. How could he possibly last that long not sinning unless he was committed? unless he valued in his heart not sinning. As Christians, we need a commitment, which means actively objecting to and committing in our heart to stand against sin. And you don't need to stand against somebody else's sin. You need to stand against your own sin. So if someone else's sin is coming into your mind right now, just consider for a moment, Job was able to be committed against sin in his life. You need to be committed in your own life against sin. That way God can say about you, you know what? In all this, they're not sinning. We need a commitment to sin in all this, come what may. You don't know that what's going to be before you tonight. You don't know what's going to be before you this week. But whatever it might be, you need to be committed against sin. In all this, Job sinned not. In all this, will you sin? We need a commitment to sin not. Even when it feels like God isn't blessing. You consider for a moment Job's life up to this point. He certainly is not going to sit there and say, look at all that I have. Look at all the blessings that God has given to me. He did not feel like God was blessing him. He knew that there were things going on in his life that were confusing to him, and he still praised God up to this point. But he did not feel like he was being bountifully blessed. Is that you tonight? Do you feel like God is not moving in a miraculous way in your life? Do you feel as though there's been ups and downs in your life and right now you're not on an up? Maybe you feel that way about yourself. Maybe you feel that way about this church. Can I tell you, praise God and be committed to sin not. Be committed to abstain from sin. Be committed to be positive in the things of God, and to be close to Him, even in all this. Even when you don't feel like God is blessing. Maybe when you're experiencing loss or hurt, as Job is here, obviously. Even when you feel alone. As Job even says to his friends, you guys are not good friends. He says to his wife, he speaks as one of the foolish people speaketh. He feels alone. You need to be committed against sin even when you feel like you're alone. You remember, of course, the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 where he said, I'm the only one, God. That's why I'm quitting today. Because I'm the only one. And God said, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee or kissed the idol of Baal. 7,000. How many are in this church? Is it 7 that are still committed? Is it 17 that are still committed? Is it 1 or 2 that are still committed? Tonight, commit yourself to abstain from sin, that in all this, Bible Baptist Church is sinning not. Even when you feel alone, when others around you are hurting. I'll tell you what, it's not easy to see somebody that you care about go through what they're going through, and he just watched his children die. He just watched, maybe you're an animal enthusiast tonight, he just watched his animals were killed. He just watched all the lamb that he had taken care of for all this time. He watched all of these things fade away right before his eyes. In all this, he sinned not. Maybe when others are being blessed, maybe that's a discouragement to you. Christian envy, if there is such a thing. You know, historians say that about this time, as Job was living his life, and take it for what it's worth, but they say at the same time Job was living here, it was about the time of Abraham. And if you consider what God is doing in Abraham's life and what God is doing in Job's life, Job could certainly look over at Abraham and say, wow, how about that? God just took away all of my children and all of my family and all of my cattle, and he's over here promising Abraham children that would be more than the sands on the side of the sea. But in all this, Job sinned not. Are you looking tonight to your left and your right and saying, why is God blessing him? And why is God blessing her? And it seems like they got a smile on their face, and it seems like God's in their life, but he's not in mine. Can I tell you tonight, can I encourage you? In all this, Job sinned not. When the family's divided, as you saw there in verse 10, between Job and his wife, when the family's divided, you got family problems tonight. You remember when Joseph, his brothers took him and sold him off into slavery. You know that in a result of that, And then Job's not sinning. And Job's, Joseph's commitment not to sin. That his family was later on fed. And as a matter of fact, that whole nation and all the people around it were able to survive famine in Egypt because Joseph, through all that he went through, even when his closest ones turned against him, he still was serving God in all this. When your friends are a discouragement to you, when your friends let you down, when the ones close to you lead you to sin, Job sinned not. You know that God knows this, and He teaches it in our Bible as a principle to us, that victors never sin, but victims always sin. You know, somebody doesn't go into a temptation and come out the other side having lost, saying, you know what, I can overtake this sin. God is with me. Look at what God has made me. I'm a child of the King. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But he goes in and says, well, I've already committed so many sins in the past. Well, he goes in and he says, you know what, I'm just having a bad day. God has to understand that. Everybody sins at some point. Victors never sin. Victims always sin. But even in all of these things that Job could have said, you know what? All hope is gone. God does not love me. He didn't say that. He remained a victor in Christ, and he abstained from sin. And he was blessed for it. Stay loyal tonight to God. Stay loyal in your personal devotions to God. Stay loyal in your personal life to God. I want to talk to you tonight about Christian loyalty. Christian loyalty. I'll tell you the story of Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes was preaching the Word of God in the mid-1700s. And because he was preaching, hey, in this country, well, it wasn't formed yet, but in this land, he was thrown in jail. And he was kept in jail for so long that he ended up gaining diseases that would eventually take his life, the treatment he was getting for preaching the Word of God. And yet he still didn't turn against God. And then he was whipped, literally, within an inch of his life for still not turning against God. And afterward, he said, you know what? He turned to the guy who whipped him and he said, it felt like you were throwing flowers at me. And as they were carrying him away because he had no strength in his body, he was singing hymns of praise to God. At least three members in the audience were saved. One of which became a renowned preacher. You say, will loyalty ever pay off? Loyalty paid off for him. You say, will loyalty ever pay off? He was one of the founders of this country, spiritually. It'll pay off. But what about in Cambridge, Ohio? What about in this church? It'll pay off. God's going to use it, but will you stay loyal? Christian loyalty. And as I want to stay on the positive side, I want to throw out these disclaimers. First of all, what not to stay loyal to. What not to stay loyal to. As these are good things to be loyal to, but they should not be your primary source of loyalty to your church house. Should be loyal, but that should not be your primary source of loyalty. What about when you're not able to go to the church house anymore? Can I tell you the illustration of the story? This is a real illustration. It's a real man. The only person I've ever met in my entire life, maybe you know somebody, that ever served in World War II on the European front and in the Pacific Islands. He served in both of them in World War II. And this man is a Christian and a good one at that. But he has to go through different treatment and things like that. He's living in a nursing home. And he cannot get to the Church of God. He cannot get to the house of God. He cannot be around his brothers and sisters in Christ and hear the preaching of God's Word and the singing of hymns. But can I tell you, he's still loyal to God. You know why? Because his loyalty was not to the body. His loyalty was not to the church. His loyalty was not to the pastor. His loyalty was not to that other person that first got him in the first place. His loyalty was not to those holding him accountable. Those are really good things. His loyalty was to God, because when those other things were taken away, he's still sinning not. Not to And I said, not his loyalty, not to the pastor, youth pastor, teacher, or to the his parents, because maybe you are the pastor. Maybe you are the teacher. Maybe you are the song leader. Maybe you are the parents. And you've seen where you failed. And you've seen where you've struggled. And you've seen where your strength meets its top limit. Bus worker, usher, mother. Your loyalty needs to be primarily to God. Not to ideals or opinions, because they change with age and with circumstance. Not to success or to the world, but to God. Your loyalty in your life to God. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. You know, the loyalty that's often portrayed in the Bible is that of Peter. As Peter said, "There's no way I'll let you go to the cross, Lord." Said, I will pick up the sword and I'll fight. I'll gather others around you. Over my dead body, Lord, is that going to happen? Has that ever happened in your life where you're standing between God and what God wants to do, or you're standing between God and what He wants to do in your children's life, or you're standing between God and what He wants to do with your youth program, or you're standing between God and what He wants to do in your family or with your friends? It's zeal, but it's aimed in the wrong direction. Have the zeal of Peter with the result of Job. In all this, Job sinned not, because your loyalty is to God and your loyalty is to Jesus Christ. Have that zeal of Peter, but the result of Job. What's the difference? Proper follow-through. Proper follow-through. Stand assured that the Bible gives you confidence to achieve follow-through. The Bible says in the New Testament, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Follow through. Colossians says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. Are you moved tonight? Have you been moved tonight? And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have learned. Personal loyalty to God. The things that God has taught you. I'm not talking about the things people have said to you. I'm not talking about the things that you're not quite sure about. I'm not talking about standards or something like that. I'm talking about in your personal life to God. Can you remember a time when you were close to God and when He was working in your life and you had strength and you had assurance and things were happening, you felt close to God because He was teaching you things? Are you loyal to the things that God has taught to you? The Bible says, be confident in the things that ye have heard. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, keeping in mind that in all this, Job sinned not. Romans in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15, and toward the end there, the last verse of chapter 15. It's hard to be here and not look at the verse before it, as it is such a good one. Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victors never sin. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, loyal, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. It says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. The things that God has taught you, where God's taken you from, where God's taken you through, where His will for your life is to be, have you moved? Have you moved? Are you a movable Christian? Are you a movable Christian? God has placed you on a solid rock, and that solid rock does not move. Are you movable? If you've moved tonight, it's not because of God. if you've moved tonight, it's because there can be found in you, as God searches the heart, there can be found in you a disloyal spirit. There can be found in you a lack of loyalty to God. Be loyal. Be unmovable. As I said before, not from man's standards, but from what God has taught you. Have you moved? Revelation chapter 2, note this. In verse 4 it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly." You've left your first love. But remember, brothers and sisters, remember from whence thou art fallen. That point, that spot. You say, what is repentance? Getting back to that spot. It wasn't mean to get my life back on track. Getting back to that spot. What does it mean to know God again? What will give me that joy again? What will give me that light again? Getting back to that spot. Remember from whence thou art fallen and return to that point, into that spot. If you'll turn again to 2 Timothy chapter 2, as you continue to go to the right, we'll try to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1-2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you movable? You cannot be loyal to Jesus Christ. You cannot be loyal to God and be loyal to sin. You've got to let go of sin and move closer to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." That's quite the opposite of being movable. "Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's being loyal to God and abstaining from sin in all this. Stay loyal to God. And anyone that's loyal to God, anyone that names the name of Christ departs from sin. Abstains from sin. Abstains from iniquity. Iniquity, being disloyal in your heart to God. If I could define iniquity that way, being disloyal in your heart to God. Disobedient. Christian loyalty. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15, God tells us a little bit about what happened to Lucifer, this beautiful being of God, this obedient servant of God at one time. And the Bible says to him, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. All things are going well, as in the universe, as large as we know God is, the earth is His footstool, His hand spans the universe, and all things are going well as God's will is being performed, and in your life all will go well as long as God's will is being performed, but in that universe and in that world, a separate will came about. Lucifer's will. Lucifer's desire. Lucifer's pleasure. Lucifer's sin and iniquity. Stay loyal to God. Another chapter is Isaiah 14, talking about Lucifer again. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart," iniquity is disloyalty in your heart to God. And I ask you tonight, where does your heart's loyalty lie? Is it to your career? Or is it to your family or to your reputation? Is it tonight to the pastor? Or is it tonight to the church house? Or is it to that person that's in here tonight that helped you that one time, or that brought you along or encouraged you that time? Those are all good things, but can I tell you tonight, have you lost that loyalty to God? Have you lost that relationship with God? If that has been lost, it's because there's iniquity. It's because there's sin. Stay loyal to God. It requires a commitment to sin not. It requires a commitment to know God. It requires a commitment to be unmovable as God is unmovable. And just like Job in all this, sinning not. Loyalty pays off. Loyalty is paid off in this nation's history? Are you still loyal today? As a United States citizen, are you still loyal today? Is this country heads in a direction opposite of what God would have it to head in? Are you still loyal? You can't be the country, but you can be a citizen. You can't be the nation, but you can be an individual citizen. And there is a path that God has for citizens in any nation. It was God that designed the structure of government. It was God that designed civil leadership and civil government. So God has a role for those inside of this nation. And can I tell you, the number one thing you can do is to abstain from sin and to be loyal to God, not in any other way other than in your personal life and in your personal relationship with the Creator of the world and with the same one that set forth and established civil government. May are the primaries, and in November is when you'll gather at the ballot boxes. And we'll see how loyal you are as to which one you check. Unmovable. Are you unmovable? And I ask you tonight, are the situations occurring in this world getting a hold of you in a way that it's drawing you away from God? Have you lost sight of the fact that Cambridge's number one hope is Bible Baptist Church? Have you lost sight of the fact that your children will not know God outside of what they see in this church and in His Word and in you? And just as bugs would be attracted to a light in a dark place, the people of this town and the people of this area, when they see a light shining in this place, will be attracted to it. If you're loyal to God, if you abstain from sin, if you're committed to Him, as a child of God, you cannot find peace or success in sin. All is vanity in taking the reins of your life. Give them to God. The Bible says, a famous verse, you'll know it, Psalms 127 and verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen waketh, but in vain." Are you planning on waking up next week to save this town? Are you planning on waking up next month to save this town? Can I tell you, you need to be committed tonight. These altars are here for you to commit to God. This church is here for you to commit to God. Prayer is here for you to commit to God. Have you felt that warmth in your prayer life? Have you gone through a day, 2 days connected, 3 days back to back, and you're not communicating with God? Maybe you can look back to right before those 2 or 3 days or month or years and see that, you know what, I never really committed myself to that. And all that's happened over the past few days and all that's happened over the past few years, I've been sinning. You know, if that tonight that can change if you commit yourself to God. And if you commit yourself to abstain from sin. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep, and He is, this church, the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Commit your ways unto the Lord. The Old Testament says, depart from evil and do good. We need a commitment to be loyal to pure and holy things. We need a commitment to be loyal to pure movies, to pure music. They don't all begin with an M. To pure words. Is this you tonight? We need a commitment to sin, not when it comes to thoughts, when it comes to our communication, whether it be verbal or whether it be thumb. We need a commitment to sin, not when it comes to the actions that come from us. You know what the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4? It says, sinner, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And He says, cleanse your hands. He doesn't say cleanse his hands or her hands. He says, you individually, is there sin in your life? cleanse your hands. You committed those sins. They didn't show up in your life from some outside source. You chose and you committed a sin. Can I tell you, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Be committed to sin not. Can I tell you, young men, young ladies, old men, old ladies, we need a commitment to pure and holy friends. To pure and holy friends. The communication you allow into your life will be you. Say, no, not me. No, it will be you. Is it vile communication? You're vile. Is it vile language? You're vile. Is it vile thoughts? You are vile. You say, am I holy and pure? Look around. Are you surrounded by holy and pure things? If not, the answer is no. You are vile. You say, what can I do? You can commit your language to God. You can commit your thoughts to God. You can commit your day and your week and your life to God. You can, in this day and age, you can, in this state, you can, in this world of 2008, you can be loyal to God and achieve follow-through. And just like Job, you can sin not. Even today, are you committed? If you'll turn one more time and we'll be done to the first chapter of Psalms, the Old Testament book, right after Job, where we started in the first chapter, if I said that, I don't know, the very first chapter of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, you're familiar again with these verses, but I'll give them to you quickly as I have a thought on them. As you're turning there, the book of Isaiah, you know this verse. Chapter 1 of verse 16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And I tell you, there is never a time to sin. And it is always the time to do right. Be loyal. Starts tonight. Be loyal. Psalms chapter 1 in the first verse says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. As we mentioned just a moment ago, is your counsel ungodly? If so, you're not blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Can I ask you tonight, are you in the way of sinners? Are you in the place where sin is committed? There are certain places that are known for sin. There are certain places that lead you to sin. There are certain things and certain sites you can go to, or certain conversations you can have, or certain people you can hang around, that every time you're around them, you find yourself in sin. Or you start to go down this thought process, or you're feeling this familiar emotion again, and you say, you know what, every time this emotion starts coming around, you know what, within a day or so, I'm in sin. Are you in the way of sinners? Get out of that way. Get out of that place. Go to a brother or sister in Christ for prayer. Go to your church for prayer. Go to the Word of God for strength. Are you in the place of sin? Are you in the way of sinners? And finally, the verse says, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. You see the progression. Are you now, not only are you saying, boy, when I hang around these people, I sin. Boy, when I'm in this place, I sin. Now you're the one turning around and scorning the things of God. You're in the seat of scornful, just like somebody that sits in the seat of a judge is a judge. You're the scorner. When you leave this place, you say, oh, those teachings, oh, those songs aren't for me. Oh, that lady was trying to correct me on this or that. Oh, well, those people are just a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, that pastor's like this, or that church is like that. Are you now, not only do you go in certain places and act certain ways, but now you're sitting in the seat of the scorner, and you actually scorn the things of God? Or are they the things that you're loyal to? You see the contrast. You see the comparison there. They're not the same. You cannot be movable
be in places of temptation. Allow people around you that are blatant sinners, and be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and in all this sinning not. You cannot be both. It requires a commitment. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. Job was loyal. Commit yourself tonight. Commit yourself to honor God. Commit yourself to obey sin, because if not, and we don't know what the future holds, we don't know what tomorrow holds or what this week holds, but we do know from looking at Job that Satan is out to attack the servants of God, and Satan is out to attack the church of God, and Satan is out to attack fathers from being good fathers, and mothers from being good mothers, and friends from being good friends. He hates the fact that there's a bus in this parking lot. He hates the fact that there's a sign on this building, that the lights are still on, that preaching's still happening, good preaching. Next Sunday. And he hates that fact that there's missionaries on the wall being supported out of your funds and being supported out of your individual wallet. He hates that fact, and he's out to get you. But can I tell you, you can be loyal if you are committed. Next generation. Will there still be Christians committed to God next generation? There will be if there's that next generation committing today to be loyal tomorrow. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The question tonight is, are you willing? Are you willing, young man? Are you willing, young lady? Are you willing, sir? Are you willing, man, to commit tonight to abstain from sin, to commit tonight? You notice I didn't get too particular. I didn't say, don't go here or don't go there. I didn't say you ought to be dressed this way or you ought to dress that way. I didn't get particular with you. I just pounded on the thought of loyalty. Will you commit yourself to whatever God has taught you in your life? Have you left a place where God was working in your life? Can you get back there tonight at this altar or in your seat as you pray to God? Lord, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for the message. We thank you, Lord, for I know it's worked in my life, God. I want to commit myself to you individually. God, the things that are in my life that I can give to you, I want to give them to you tonight in this next time and as this song is sung. Lord, move in these pews, God. Move in our hearts. Draw us closer to you as your Holy Spirit always does. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, brother. All right, you've heard the message. In all this, just imagine if the congregation of Bible Baptist churches, each and every person, took that one step forward. What an incredible thing. What an incredible step forward we could make for God. This altar is open. This message has touched your heart. Please come forward as we sing. Song 315.
another. There's this. Search your hearts. Search your hearts. Can you take a step forward? Can you take another step for the Lord? He climbed Calvary carrying all your sins. He took every step, each and every one, right to the very end, right to the grave. We praise Him for His resurrection. He took those steps. He took them all for us. Can we take another step for Him? This altar is still open.
Thank you.